105th District Assemblyman Kieran Lawler was with one of the first Marine Corps units in Iraq based out of Albany. He explains his battalion had been activated the year after 9/11, but stayed stateside until being discharged from active duty in 2002, only to be mobilized again in March 2003.
By the end of March, we were in Kuwait, and pretty soon after that, we were in Iraq during the very early days of what was basically a conventional conflict, you know, a large-scale land invasion. So for the first few months, Saddam Hussein was still in power.
With an Army career spanning 24 years, Chris Gibson, who now represents New York's 19th District in Congress, served four combat tours in Iraq before being elected in 2010 as a Republican.
So the first three elections, national elections in Iraq, my battalion, we were involved in all three of those. And then subsequently, I went back a third time after 9/11 during the surge. I was the Multinational Division North Operations Officer, the G3. We were based out of Tikrit, Camp Spiker, but we had responsibility for everything essentially north of Baghdad.
Kieran Lawler considers himself lucky.
I was in the right place at the right time. I was an infantryman. I was a light machine gunner. Nearby units saw heavy action, but we did not. I've always felt very lucky that for whatever reason. I came home and within a week met my wife, and we now have four great kids, so maybe fate was saved me for that.
Lawler says that when Saddam Hussein fell, his unit and others became part of the stabilization force in Iraq, welcomed as liberators.
In Nazaria, we were, by and large. Children would chant USA and wave American flags, and in their limited English, they would chant good, good, mister, which, you know, that was their way of expressing positive, you know, feelings for U.S. military troops.
Was the fall of Hussein the first domino down in what would later come to be known as the Arab Spring? Chris Gibson.
Actually, I think there's a variety of factors, and I think historians will long debate that. Each country has its own unique set of history and culture and political pressures. So I think that some of the more keen analysis really focuses in on some of those specifics.
Gibson shares his perspective on wartime dangers and turning points.
When I returned to Iraq for the surge, I noticed that there was a decided change in what was going on in the country compared to my earlier tours in Iraq. Some of my earlier tours, we were in near daily gunfights, like when I was in Mosul. Very dangerous. Very much pressured by Al-Qaeda and the local insurgent groups there as we were preparing for the first free elections in Iraq, which took place in January of 2005. But when I returned for the surge, and as I moved all about northern Iraq, I noticed that there was more collaboration across ethnic lines.
Gibson cites the awakening among the Sunnis that peace was a possibility, the surge itself, and how effective the U.S. was at targeting the leadership of Al-Qaeda as three factors that set the stage for the troop withdrawals.
Look, Iraq is not going to be a Jeffersonian democracy, but it will be relatively friendly to us and relatively stable.
How does Iraq compare to past wars like Korea and Vietnam? Again, Kieran Lawler.
Was the value of taking out Saddam and Uday and Qusay and taking great strides to help bring democracy to Iraq, was it worth the 4,500 Americans that gave their lives there? And I think only history will be able to tell. You know, the war just wrapped up 2 years ago, so if the loss of American life was worth bringing democracy. And also, I think there was a very real, and this I guess is a political statement, a very real value to, from those years, you know, late 2003 until 2008, every Islamic terrorist who could get to Iraq got there, and many of them died there. So, you know, sort of Al-Qaeda's best and bravest. I don't think this was the plan, but it is what happened. Many of them were sucked into Iraq over the period of the five- or six-year period there, and many of them never made it out, which is a positive.
In addition to the fallen U.S. service members, 134,000 Iraqi civilians died during the years of conflict. Brown University's Watson Institute for International Studies issued a report last week that calculated the cost of the Iraq War at almost $4 trillion. Dave Lucas, WAMC News.